Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, He is risen. He is risen indeed. There's an easy way to figure out what type of person someone is. All you have to do is place a cup in front of them, filled up with a liquid up to the halfway point. Some people will look at that glass and they will view it as being half full. And they will be very thankful for what they have received. Others will look at that glass as being half empty. And they will want more. But this morning we do not look at something that is half full or half empty. Instead, we looked at a tomb that is completely empty. And when we look at the empty tomb, we rejoice. We are filled with joy that Jesus is risen. We gladly shout Alleluia to our Lord. But did you notice the reaction of the women from the gospel this morning? When they saw the empty tomb, they did not rejoice. They were afraid. They were terrified. But you could understand why. Imagine if you went to the cemetery to go to the gravesite of your loved one. Everything was dug up. The casket's empty. And there's a guy standing there telling you, "Don't be afraid. He's not here. He's risen." Your first reaction would not be to rejoice. You would be terrified. But these words from the angel who spoke these words to these women soon brought them comfort. And it's the words that bring us comfort as well this Easter Sunday. For he says to us, "Don't be afraid, for Christ is risen, and you will see him again." And it's been about 2,000 years since the angel first spoke these words. And for us, it's easy to listen to these words. We are not afraid. We look forward to celebrating Easter. But 2,000 years ago, before the sun rose in the sky, before the stone was rolled away, before the people could see the grave close, this was not a day of celebration. It was a day of grieving, a day of fear. I mean, try to forget everything you know about Easter right now. And imagine if you were one of those followers back then. What moved you to follow Jesus? Maybe it was his teachings that moved you. His teachings such as, "I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." And when you heard these teachings from Jesus, it just gave you goosebumps all over your body. It felt like Jesus was speaking directly to your heart. And that moved you to follow him. Or maybe it wasn't just his teachings, but his power behind his teachings that moved you. Maybe as one of those followers, you followed Jesus all day, but now it's late, the marketplaces are closed, and you're hungry. But there was Jesus. He fed you and 5,000 other people simply by using 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Maybe as that follower of Jesus, you were that widowed mother walking behind the casket of your only son. And overcome with grief and sorrow, tears are flowing down your eyes. But you look up and there was Jesus. He walked to the casket of your son, raised him from the dead, and handed him back to you. Maybe as a follower of Jesus, you were the one who suffered an illness, such as leprosy. And because You were a leper. You couldn't live in the city with your family and your friends. You can't even remember the last time someone even touched you, reached out their hand to shake yours, or to wrap their arms around you to give you a hug. But there was Jesus. He touched you, and he said, "Your faith has made you well." Or maybe even before you became a follower of Jesus, you were an outcast of your society because of your job. Your people hated you because you collected taxes for Rome. But there was Jesus. He walked up to you and said, "Come, follow me." These are the reasons that you became a follower of Jesus, and you believed everything that he told you, that he was the Son of God and there was eternal life in him. But then just recently, Jesus started to tell you that when he would go to Jerusalem, he would be handed over to his enemies, he would suffer and die. And you can't bring yourself to believe it. You think to yourself, "Jesus, this can't be true. I will not allow it to happen, Jesus." But then your worst nightmare is not a dream. And what you fear the most is now a reality. Jesus is dead. And imagine what that must have felt like to those followers back then. It must have felt like everything they believed was a lie. For how can Jesus be the Son of God if he's lying dead in a tomb? How can there be eternal life in him when there's no physical life in him right now? This was not a day of celebration. It was a day to be afraid. And dear followers of Jesus, that would be your fear if Christ had not been raised. If Christ were still dead, what is the point in believing in him? Your faith would be a lie. Your faith would be pointless. It's like Paul said, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." If Christ were still dead, you would have no hope for salvation, and you would constantly be in fear of your death. But don't be afraid, for Christ is risen. Christ is alive. Your faith is not a lie. Your faith is not pointless. You don't have to be afraid of death because Christ has defeated death. Death has lost its victory. Death has lost its sting. Eternal life and salvation is yours through your risen and victorious Lord. And it's those words of comfort that would have meant so much to those women at the tomb. They needed to hear those words. But then the angel also tells them, "You will see him again." You know, the question almost had been asked by the women, "Where is the proof? Where is the proof that Jesus actually rose from the dead? How do I know I'm not being tricked once again and I'm falling into a lie?" But the angel calms all of those fears and he says, "Don't be afraid. You will see him again." And that's what they needed to hear. Because for these people, they were living in their fears. I mean, just look at the women. Why are they even there? They are there to properly bury Christ, to anoint his body. Jesus died so quick and was buried so fast, they didn't even have a proper chance to say goodbye. And they're also afraid of who will roll the stone away from the tomb. Is that the fear that you are living in? Have you lost a loved one and you didn't have a proper chance to say goodbye? You didn't have that opportunity to say everything that you wanted to say, and it seemed like God didn't even want to give you that closure. Now let's take a look at one of the women that are specifically mentioned, Mary Magdalene. We don't know a lot about her, but we know this much from Scripture. At one time, she was possessed by 7 demons, but Jesus casted all of those demons out of her life. But now her Savior, who could rescue her, seemed like he could not rescue himself. And so she is living in fear of who will help her now. Is that the fear that you're living in? Has your health changed? And it almost seems like either God doesn't even have the power to fix the problem in my life, or God doesn't even care to help me with my problems. But not only did the women need to hear these words, the angel said, go and tell these words to the disciples and to Peter. And we certainly know that the disciples at this time were living in fear. When Jesus was arrested, they all deserted him. And after Jesus died, like cowards, they locked themselves behind locked doors, afraid that what happened to Jesus could happen to them. They did not let their light shine as followers of Jesus. And now imagine the guilt that Peter has. The last time he saw Jesus alive, it was right after he denied him 3 times. And Jesus stared right back at him. And he broke down into tears and ran away. Is that the fear that you are living in? Have you committed some sin from last year's Easter till now that just weighs you down and burdens you with guilt? Are you afraid that when God looks at you, he sees you as a horrible person? Or are you afraid that when God looks at you, he sees someone that's almost like a hypocrite? For how many times out of fear, you didn't let your light shine because you were afraid that you would suffer, that you would lose family and friends? And because of our sins, because of our fears, because of our worries, we should be terrified of God. When we see God, we should only see a God who will continue to punish us for the evil that we have done and the evil that we still continue to do. When we see God, we should only see a God who will punish us with eternal sufferings in hell that will never last, and he will never give us any closure in life. For even Scripture says it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But don't be afraid, for you will see him. And when you see him, you will not only see him as the glorious risen Lord, but also as the gracious God who loves you. You don't have to be afraid. For when Christ appeared to these women and to his disciples, he did not come there with condemnation, but he said, peace be with you. And he says the same thing to you. For the death that Christ died was our death, and the life that Jesus rose to is our life. Our sins died with Christ on that cross, and our salvation now lives in our Savior. Therefore, don't be afraid, for Christ is risen. He is alive. He is the bread of life that nurtures your faith. He is the way and the truth and the life, for he leads you down the path of heaven, guiding you with his word, which creates life. And he is the resurrection and the life, that whoever lives and believes in him will never die. And don't be afraid, for Christ lives to calm all of your fears. For since he lives, he assures you that all every sin that you have done has been forgiven. He lives to assure you that he's right there with you and to help you and to heal you. And that he lives. That even though the loved ones that you lost will one day rise again, and you will get to spend eternity with those that you have lost, and you will get to spend an eternity with your risen Savior. For the life of Christ puts to death all of our fears. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew, and you can also register for communion there as well.